Welcome back for the 200th time.
Woo!
Episode 200. That's a big deal, I guess. How many podcasts think make it to 200 episodes? Not many.
Yours?
That's There's it. Not a whole lot of them, right? Like a bunch of like every white guy has a podcast now.
I think every white guy with a bun.
I don't have a bun. I got a couple buns, but not like the bun you're thinking. Billy Wessels back again, joined by Chris Gardner this week as my co-host. Just us two in the building. Sam, rest in peace. No, he's moved on. He's actually moved to Colorado already. So he's gone.
Oh wow.
Yeah. He was supposed to move in 2 weeks, and he goes, "Hey, I'm moving on Thursday instead." So. He gone.
Oh, so, that's exciting.
It's exciting for him. Exciting for him. So
a new chapter in his life.
We're moving on in the Purple Winners family. After 200 episodes, things are kind of going.
That's how it happens.
We're coming back with me and like going back to me and Jeff in the very first episode in his backyard.
It's been
200 of these ever since. It's been a hot minute since the 2014 season, I think. So this season is not going like 2014 at all. Natural segues. We got Chris Gardner in the house. Rose Bowl champion. He's wearing a Rose Bowl shirt, by the way. I like that shirt.
Oh, I didn't even think about this.
I haven't seen that one yet. You walked in, and I was like, man, I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah.
Normally, you wear Rose Bowl gear.
Yeah.
Most of your gear is Rose Bowl. I get it. I would,
too. Yeah, I mean, I'm stunned on them.
Yeah, so that's a new Rose Bowl shirt that I haven't seen before. I like that a lot. It looks like the helmet, if you remember the helmet in the Rose Bowl game.
That
the frog had the rose in its mouth. That's basically the logo you have on your shirt.
That's super
But this year's team will not be playing in the Rose Bowl. Chris, my favorite part of most Saturdays is a phone call I get from you like an hour after the game where you just vent. So now you can vent for the masses here.
Preach.
On how this season's going. Obviously, the Frogs are, 3-2, just had their second bye week.
Yes.
Trying to find three more wins to get to a bowl game is kind of where most people are at. But how are you feeling? Take over.
I'm not going to do it because we can keep it civil. I don't want to. Okay, so before the season, I predicted that we would go, what was my prediction?
Like
I'm going to let you say it.
Like
8-4 is my prediction, yep. Okay?
And I'm over here saying 10-2.
10-2, God, I'm not going to name people, but people around
the
team.
Microphone.
People around the team were saying 11 wins minimum. And I'm like, look, one thing you cannot ever do is go into a season and you have a question mark at quarterback. Like, what team in any level goes into a season with a question mark at quarterback and says, oh, well, don't worry, 10 wins minimum? I mean, when did we become Ohio State or Alabama?
So here's what I was thinking. Like, you can look back at this. Look, everyone else is loaded. You bring back the whole offensive line. You trust the defense line is going to be good, and frankly, that's not. That's been the most disappointing part of the team, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Easily, by far.
Easily.
We'll just plug in a grad transfer who can run the ball for a team that needs to just run the ball and play good defense. Like, that's what I was like, oh, just plug in a guy that's played a whole bunch of football. And it's like you're getting no experience at quarterback. You're just getting a not great
but
one.
We're not Alabama. We can't just line up and run over everybody.
Not everybody.
We need some. We have to be able to beat people. Okay, the reason we were so good in the 14 with Trey in 14-15 with Trey is because you could beat people throwing the ball. You could beat people running the ball.
Yeah.
That we had to be innovative in our play calling. We're not Alabama. We're not Clemson. We're not Georgia. We can't just line up. And Georgia's probably not a good example this week, but we're not none of these teams. We can just line up and run them over. All right, just line them up and go. It's like that's and then play great defense. We're not recruiting 5 stars people. We're recruiting 3 stars. So they're going to be in the right place because we have great coaching. But they're not always going to make the best play. You know what I mean? They're not always going to make the play. They're going to make good plays, but they're not always going to make the best play. And so that's going to limit. That's why we can go to Iowa State and lose by 25 points?
Something like that. It was
you know what I mean? 49-24, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's,
it felt like more than that.
That's how we can do stuff like that. Like, the old TCU couldn't do that because, granted, and I say it as a person that you – and I was thinking about this. Bro, we played lower competition. We're still with these same athletes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now we have these same athletes playing in the Big 12. And I'm not saying we're getting exposed. But it's not as easy as I think we thought we were higher than what we were.
Well, yeah, we won a Rose Bowl.
We were
top 4 in the country every year.
Yeah. I'm saying we thought we were higher than what we were, and I knew reality was going to set in because at the end of the day, We're not a blue blood. You know what I mean? We're not a. You're not an Oklahoma. You're not a Texas. We're right under that. We're Texas Tech, Baylor. That's our mold. That's what we need to look at. That's what we need to shine at. Okay. So once we accept that, that's where we are. Because we're never gonna go. As soon as we got into the Big 12, you weren't gonna pass Oklahoma and Texas. You became their little brother. You know what I mean?
You hop up to the big kids' table once every couple of years, and then you're back down.
And exactly, we literally jumped into a conference that was owned by two teams. Yeah. And what did we think we were going to do is like supplant them? That's not who we are. We could have beat them consistently if we had stayed outside the Big 12. Straight up. Because we would have been able to recruit differently.
Well, how many times did we beat them not in the Big 12? Oklahoma once in 05.
Yeah. But how many times did we play them?
Well, every like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, we lost Oklahoma once, beat Oklahoma once. Lost to Texas. And that was it. That was the only time that we ever played them. They didn't play us.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you're right.
How many times we beat Baylor?
Yeah.
How many times we beat Texas Tech?
Yeah, every time.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's where we would have stayed.
Yeah.
And so now that we're in the Big 12, we need to accept what we are. Us getting to a conference championship game is a win for us.
Yeah.
That's a win for us.
But were you shocked the first year of the Big 12 title game that they were there?
No, because... Because
what year was that, 16?
That was on Kenny Hill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I wasn't because we still had... Oklahoma's transitioning. This is back when Stoops was still...
Well, they had... Was it Lincoln?
Lincoln
It was Baker's, like, last game.
Yeah, no, you're right. That was... But that was also the year they lost to Georgia, barely. Like, Georgia came back and beat them. Yeah. So, that team. So, yeah.
Those are the two losses.
That's a successful year for us.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we need to aim for. We don't need to aim for...
Texas or Oklahoma.
Get to a conference championship game, I'm set. That's a great year, TCU. Good job. So, because we're not going to just... Oh, well, we don't have no quarterback, but it's all right, man. We're going to go 11-2. Like, it's not going to happen. Not anymore.
Not anymore. You can't do that anymore.
We're 8-4. 8-4 is a good – yeah, exactly right. Yeah. In the Mountain West, we go in the season, hey, who's your quarterback? We don't know, but we don't win conference champion anyway. But in the Big 12, your answer cannot be, oh, I don't know who the quarterback is. We're going to win 11 games, so trust me, whoever we have.
That's fair. Yeah. But who – sorry, so is this team still getting to 8 wins? Are you totally crushed by
– No. Last couple weeks? 8 wins. I've not changed my prediction.
Is that including a bowl game? Are you seeing 7 regular
season 8-4.
Wins? 8-4. So that's 8 regular season wins.
8-4.
So who do you – where do you see – I think a lot of fans are like, where's 5 more wins coming from at this point? Because you have 7 games left.
Okay.
So what are your wins going to be?
I think you lose to Oklahoma and Texas.
And you win everyone else.
Damn, we might go 7-5.
Eight and four
was before the SMU loss.
Okay.
So
you thought you'd beat SMU.
I thought that we would throw it. So I was like, okay, so now we're 7-5.
That's your prediction.
Yeah, that knocks us down.
I probably would be 5-0 right now and rolling through everything.
You thought we'd be 5-0
before the season when I was talking 10-2. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. When I guess you're right. I guess you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I thought they lose Oklahoma and somebody else when I figured Texas.
I knew we would lose to Oklahoma and Texas, and then I would think we'd lose a couple of other games.
Because you have to go to Oklahoma State. You have to go to Tech.
No, Tech is not that strong.
No, they're not. But you still have to go to Lubbock. Weird stuff happens in Lubbock.
Yeah, they
Baylor
lose.
Baylor comes here and West. You'll beat West Virginia. West Virginia is garbage.
That's what I'm saying.
West Virginia's total garbage.
So that's 4. So West Virginia.
So we're sitting at 3. The last game of the year is West Virginia on Black Friday. All right, we got 4. So you got to win in the middle of at Kansas State. You should win that one.
So that's what I'm saying.
Off a bye.
Kansas State did go to Mississippi State and win.
Mississippi State just got boat raced by whoever was there.
Yeah, you're right.
Mississippi State's not that good.
Yeah, that win's not looking as good. No.
No.
When it first happened, I thought it was a really good
one. Yeah. But Kansas State, not overly...
So Kansas State, West Virginia, Texas Tech.
So those are your 3 wins. Baylor? Can you beat Baylor here?
And Baylor's a rivalry. Baylor's no matter if Baylor's undefeated or not, it's a rivalry game.
And I don't think they'll be undefeated by that point. That's November
9th. They're
not
a bad team, though. If you watch them play...
They're not bad. I have. But I'm saying, I don't think they'll be...
But I tell you like this. I think what Baylor does well... we match up well with Baylor. I think Art Briles was a problem.
Yeah.
I don't think Matt Rule is as big of a problem.
He was a problem in a lot of reasons. Uh-huh. Did you see he got in trouble already?
Yeah.
Playing eligible players.
What, our broad break the rules?
Yeah.
No, I was more or less thinking, like, as far as schematically, like.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
he's a better Art Briles was what I could see the trend. I could see the trajectory of Baylor with Art Briles. You know what I mean?
And I just kind of flippantly said, oh yeah, they'll lose a game before then. And I look at their schedule. They play at Oklahoma State, which
they can win.
They can win that one. Like Oklahoma State's good, but then they get West Virginia on Halloween. They'll win that one, and then they get 10 days between that game and our game.
You see what I'm saying?
So they could be. Like
undefeated,
they could beat us to be 9-0 to face Oklahoma and Texas, both at home, both in Waco. I don't know.
Weird things can happen.
Crazy things happen
in Waco. Yeah,
but
that's what I'm getting at. So we're talking about us. So think about this: SMU 6-0,
SMU 6-0,
and Baylor 6-0.
Yeah,
and TCU is
where are we ranked in the Texas?
TCU is 3-2.
Worse than UNT.
No, we're a little above UNT.
Houston? Now that Derek King sat down?
Okay, so I think it goes Texas up top now. It's kind of back to where it was.
Yeah.
Texas, Texas A&M. Nah, forget that. Forget that. So yeah. Texas, Baylor. Baylor's really second right now?
Based on – and Texas Tech just took him a double overtime. So, like – Maybe it's Texas Baylor, Texas Tech, then A&M.
Gosh, I hate TCU. To admit that, man. Are we even that high?
Who do you have left? UNT, UTEP, Houston.
Okay, so we're a little above them. See what I'm saying? We're middle of the pack.
Rice?
We're middle of the pack.
Yeah, not just in the Big 12.
In the state of Texas, we're middle of the pack. Maybe that's a tough reality that we need.
It is, and that's what I think. Like Twitter has been so negative the last couple of weeks. Like it's been, by last couple of weeks, I mean forever since Twitter was invented.
Yeah, I was
that's
just about to say. You must like, just you knew.
Yeah, I just have you heard of this website?
Yeah.
Twitter.com? Go check that out. It's a happy place at this time of life. But like, I people just used to being like, we're gonna win. People like me sip the Kool-Aid a little too hard. Like oh, that's 9-10 wins easy.
Easy, yeah, because we're TCU, we're gonna walk in there.
We won Roseville 8 years ago.
Maybe.
So
we're turning into Cowboy fans.
100. Man, I'm in a group text right now that is going absolutely insane because of the Cowboys.
Oh,
and
man.
I'm just sitting there like lobbing in memes from afar. I'm just like dropping in.
And this is what I tell them. The NFL is different from college. Okay. Because the NFL is month by month, things change.
Week by week.
Yeah, exactly. Like
the Jets. If they play the Jets last week without Sam Darnold, they probably
they win. No problem. And exactly. They're part of they're 0-5. They're back on track. Everybody's good. You know what I mean? Those are just two slip ups. But because the NFL has so much parity, every week is different. But in college, on the other hand, you can know who you are a couple games into it. Yeah. There's very rarely teams who change it later on in the season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, no, it's
who like, you are is like who
the,
you are.
The weird exception is kind of like Houston this year, right? Because they thought they had a decent team, and then their best receiver and quarterback says, we're going to sit out the rest of the year. And
We're going to redshirt this year.
We're going to redshirt this year. We'll be back next year.
Yep.
But
that was a whole different thing. That's actually – you can see the reason why they went away. The only thing can happen in college is a team can get really bad. No team gets really good.
You looked right at me and said, get really bad. So it's either TCU. I know you didn't really do that, but TCU, this is.
I don't think we're bad, though.
No, I don't. And that's the thing. So another thing I did the last couple of days on the bye week was over on purplenus.com. I kind of gave out like grades for the position groups.
Okay.
So far this year. I'm a tease to the website, but I want to get your opinion on a couple of these. The ones that I thought were most interesting.
Okay.
So let's start with quarterback. How would you grade the quarterback play so far this year?
B-.
That's exactly what I put. Exactly what I put.
B-.
Yeah, 100%. That's fair. Mm-hmm. So, and it's weird to see, like, Duggan's progressed a lot. And his first half and splits and second half splits are absolutely absurd.
I don't even care about that.
Okay.
Literally, what I look at is, remember I told you I got an eye? Like, how you throw the ball, how you act under pressure, what your face looks like.
Yeah.
I look at everything. I don't care about the stats when you're a freshman. Because realistically, you're going to be up and down.
Yeah.
You're new to this. Next year, you're going to struggle halfway through the season. You have expectation. You're not going to meet those expectations. You're going to fail a little bit. I'm looking for this guy in 2 years. That's all I care about. I care about Max Duggan as a junior. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's you. You haven't said that all year.
I didn't care what quarterback it was. We need a quarterback that's going to be here 4 years. And we need a starter that's going to be there 4 years. And we're going to have to deal with these first 2 years, 8-4, 8-4, 8-4, 9-3. It'll be like that. But then after that,
I think
with Coach P having a legit quarterback of a seasoned veteran who, like Max Duggan, who is mobile, who is tough, who can read the defense, who can throw the ball, who sits in the pocket. I look at all, that's what I look at. Yeah. I can care less about his yards. Those stats is what I look at, is how he plays, how this man comes back every time. He can lead a team. His deep ball is beautiful. He can actually throw crossing routes. The only thing he has to do is take a little bit of the zip off the ball. If Max Duggan learns touch, and that comes with age, when Max Duggan learns touch, we have a quarterback who can lead us to something very special.
And I think that's improved a lot the last couple weeks.
Yeah, it has.
Like, since Purdue, he was trying to break everybody.
Exactly.
Throwing it.
He's Brett Favre out there. Like, 100%. Calm it down.
It's so, but I'm worried about how this team looks next year.
I'm not.
There's nobody around him next year.
It doesn't matter. He's gonna be bad anyway. So let's let him grow for 2 years.
Yeah.
That's who we are. We're not Alabama. We can't just reload. We ain't bringing in five stars.
No.
So what we have to do is literally build a team. And everybody's always like, oh, his worst teams, and then Gary Patterson turns it around. Normally it's with the same quarterback.
It's very rarely
a different quarterback that does that. So you go from Andy Dalton being a freshman, 2 years. Okay, we're 10-2. What was it? No, Andy Dalton's freshman year, he was 8-5, redshirted. That's what it was.
At Air Force.
Utah at home in front of 17,000 people. Yeah. Like, yeah, I remember all this. And so Andy Dalton, for his first 2 years, okay, he's decent. We had a decent defense his second year. And so, boom, now our progression's there. We just got lucky with Casey. But Casey was the most athletically gifted, most talented quarterback TCU's ever had. Ever. Still to this day.
Yeah.
The most talented. Like, should have been a first round pick. Like, the most talented quarterback.
Set on straight.
Exactly right. If everything would have worked out, bro, he would have been a first, second round quarterback still playing in the NFL today, being paid millions and millions of dollars. Unbelievably talented quarterback. So we got lucky to have him sitting behind Andy for his 2 years and then coming in junior year. You see what I'm saying? We have to wait for quarterbacks to grow. And then once they grow, Coach P's going to have a defense that's going to be able to complement that offense. But until we get that offense, we're going to be stuck where we are. 6-6, 8-4, 6-6, 6-6. Like, that's just, we're in the Big 12 now.
Yeah.
We ain't Oklahoma.
See, people just, like, I know I'm not.
Yeah, we're not. Because, when we go to Wyoming and Boise State, and then you replace those with Oklahoma State and Texas Tech, and you know what I'm saying? Like, you replace Air Force with Oklahoma.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like,
UNLV with Texas.
Yeah, UNLV with Texas. Like,
San Diego State with Baylor.
Like, this is your new schedule.
Yeah.
Accept it. You know what I'm saying? So that's who we are. So we have to wait until we build the team. The reason we did so well with Kenny Hill. Granted, he wasn't the most talented quarterback, but he's a veteran.
Yeah, he played in the SEC for a year or two.
You give Coach P a veteran quarterback, I'm not questioning it. But Coach P is a very loyal person. So even if the offensive coordinator isn't up to the capabilities, he will stay with him.
Yeah, like we talked about on the phone the other day, what I threw out there was he'll let Cumbie take a job somewhere.
Before he fires.
He won't fire. Nope. Like, I don't see him firing Cumbie. Nope. But if somebody comes and says, hey, we want to talk to Cumbie, by all means, talk to him. Let him go talk to Kansas or whatever.
He'll probably suggest that, hey, like, maybe you should go look at
him. Maybe you should go be but a he UNT won't, offensive coordinator.
He will not fire him.
No, he won't.
Even
the 2013 OC that did nothing with Boykin and Dotson and all that is still on the staff.
We need to pay whatever Coach Fuente's buyout is.
Yeah, this is the hot take you had over the weekend. So you want Fuente back.
Whatever his buyout is, offensive coordinator, assistant head coach, Coach P's probably going to be there a couple more years. I can't see Coach P doing this till he's 70.
No. I think this is his last contract. He's under contract through 2022. And I think
There we go.
I think he's done after that.
So you need to, whatever we need to do, get Fuente back. get we need an offensive mind with Coach P.
Yeah.
Like maybe a young, obviously you're not a Sean McVay type, but you need a Sean McVay type as far as is there a 30? I mean, do we have an ex quarterback? Could Andy come back and be an offensive coach? You know what I mean? Like,
he'll probably be done in Cincinnati after this year.
Maybe. Well, I mean, he's set. He's $100 million.
Oh, yeah, no, I wouldn't take his job for nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Graham Kohlhausen, what's he doing?
Yeah, exactly. like Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
Is there a Kellen Moore in our ranks?
He just put up 3 field goals against the Jets.
Yeah, but I'm just saying
I'm taking another dig at Cowboys.
Yeah, I know that hurt. It's too soon, man. Yeah, yeah. Too soon.
And I don't know if TC fans would welcome Kellen Moore either, by the way, because the whole Boise debacle.
We don't mind. We beat him twice.
I guess that's true. We gave him
He's more than welcome to come. Yeah, he's more than welcome.
Yeah, I still don't like him, but that's fine. Yeah,
I have no problem with Kellen Moore. But I'm just saying, do we have a young offensive coordinator that fresh ideas coming up through the ranks? Like, that's
Kenny
what we
Hill's
need.
On the staff?
Yeah. I don't.
You don't like that idea.
Yeah.
What about like a Waymon James or like a... you guys got real big. You didn't like that idea. I'm trying to think of some people.
Just
ignore that one.
Just, I mean, just saying, like, as far as
offensive Kyle Hicks, he's trying for the XFL now.
Yeah, but he's still playing. I mean, like a...
You want something...
It had to be somebody...
Someone our age?
I was just about to say, it had to be somebody
someone on your team? You played with all these guys that are in their 30s now.
But none of them want to be offensive coordinators.
Who was Andy Dalton's 30?
Like Big Z.
Ty Gunn.
There you go. If Ty Gunn believed in, like... Or if he was a part of New York... Even if... that's why I say
Brandon Hassel.
But I mean, we just don't have one of those guys.
No.
But maybe that's what we're missing too.
Go get.
Because Big Z played right before I went on my visit. Big Z was playing.
Yeah, Jason Phillips too.
Exactly right. Like, you know what I mean. But those are all defensive guys.
Yes. Think about TCU. Yeah, that's TCU, when you're known for the defensive players. They're not really known for the offensive guys for the most part.
But when we have an offense, that's when we're good.
Heck, what's Ball Hall up to now?
I think
same thing as Waymon James.
Yeah, they're all grinding, man. But I don't think anybody needs to panic. I don't think anybody needs to.
No, because they're living up to your expectations for this year. I think there are more people like me out there that were excited.
Why though? Your excitement had no merit. That's the problem.
Savage. I look at the team, right, and I'm like, I was like, oh man. Jalen Reagor, first round pick on the offensive line. Lucas Niang, first round pick. Cordell Owagu, probably mid round draft pick. Darius Anderson, Shewa, both probably getting drafted on defense. Ennis Gaines, he's a draft pick. Jeff Gladney, he's a draft pick. Ross Blacklock's a first round pick. Like, these are all guys that I thought, like, man, we're building around. There's NFL talent all over this roster.
But that's just what we're gonna have because we're recruiting better.
But they're not playing better together. Like
that's one. Players,
but
they're not playing the same together. But I'm not saying that ain't because they're not friends like that. But when you're not winning, I can tell you one thing: those teams don't be as close.
Of course.
I mean, that's not different than what's expected. But I'm telling you like this: when you get a quarterback, that's a veteran that. As a leader, and you got Coach B's defense, because Coach B's defense can stop your offense enough.
Yeah.
Like,
unless you're Oklahoma.
That is the only.
unless you're led by Lincoln Riley. I hope he coaches the Cowboys.
When they said Lincoln Riley's going to the Cowboys, I got so happy.
Yeah. Get him out of here.
Please. Anybody but him.
It's good for him.
Anybody but him. We'll never beat Oklahoma as long as he's there. Like, and that's not even...
They need to get, like, 4 injuries, like, the day before.
And I still think he could scheme it up. He out-schemes our defense.
Which is crazy.
And I've never seen anybody...
No, like, 2 years ago, whatever it was, when he first played against us, I was like, man, that's the first time I've seen GB get out-coached.
Get out-schemed.
In, like, every facet.
It was nothing we could do. He walked... Literally, it felt like they were walking wide-open people everywhere. Yeah.
Well, it helps that he had back-to-back Heisman quarterbacks and might have a third one this year.
But even then, they still were wide-open players.
Oh, no, it's crazy.
Yeah, like, wide-open players, they're not... You don't see a lot of wide-open people on TCU.
Well, Well, no, because part of that's also the receivers.
Exactly.
Are meh. And in at Oklahoma, you have CeeDee Lamb and Hollywood Brown. All these Theo Weiss has barely even played.
I miss Bob Stoops.
Right. We had a chance with him.
I miss Big Game Bob.
Oh man.
Oklahoma.
Never thought we'd say that. Like one of the most successful coaches they've ever had. Yeah, I wish you'd bring him back.
Yeah, because we actually had a chance. We have zero chance with Lincoln Riley.
No.
He's just going to out-scheme us, bro. And he.
Okay, but what about with Texas? Like, can't.
That's not. Every year, we can always beat Texas.
You can always beat Texas, but not Oklahoma.
No, not Oklahoma. Oklahoma beats us in every facet. Oklahoma don't just beat us.
It's not 24-21.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Oklahoma literally dominates us.
It's 52-17.
Yeah, every year. And it's not even necessarily like they blow us out like that every year. It's just when you watch the game, you never feel like we have a chance.
Yeah.
Like, we always, no matter where we play at, no matter what time we play in a day,
it's only a ride together. But it's
anytime they're on offense, there's wide open Oklahoma receivers. Anytime they're on defense, it always seems like we're running screen passes that are getting stopped. You know what I'm saying? It's just like.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
And so, but with Texas. I don't care how good Texas, quote unquote, is.
Tom Herman's a psychopath. So you just don't know what he's going
to do. I don't see Texas as being as dominant.
Yeah.
And as you see, who's been still winning the Red River Rivalry? As good as Texas, quote unquote, is, Texas is back.
They beat him last year.
Who?
Texas beat him last year.
Texas won last year.
Yeah. In Cotton Bowl. On the last, Dicker the kicker hit the game winning field goal.
You're right.
And then Oklahoma beat them in the Big 12 title game.
That's what it was. Yeah, okay.
But I mean, Texas did beat them last year.
They did, you're right.
And then the year before, Oklahoma loses one game every year.
For no reason, though.
They lost to Iowa State 2 years ago or whatever it was.
Like, they're going to, like, lose to Baylor this year.
What if they lose to TCU this year?
Nah.
It's usually a team like this. It's usually someone, like, random.
It ain't like us.
It was Iowa State when they were on the come up. Remember that Iowa State went there and beat them?
Yeah, but that was when they had a.
It was also like at 11 a.m.
They had an unbelievable defense. Iowa State had a pretty good. And it had David Montgomery, right?
Yeah, probably. And Lazard.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they weren't just no. Yes, that's exactly who they had. Because Lazard was killing
them.
The
Bears running back.
Yeah, there you go. Those two.
I was a big Lazard guy. I'm a big fan of
him. And as great as Jalen Reagor is athletically. His ability as a wide receiver is questioned to me.
Yeah, so it's kind of.
But I think that's always been questioned. I think when he killed last year, when was he dominating? He was dominating when we had him running sweeps and.
Yeah, he's just a
he's first, a freak athlete.
He's an athlete. Yeah, so you can find a way to give him the ball in space.
I don't think he's struggling. To be honest, I think we had over expectations of a Josh Dotson type.
Yeah, it's not.
He's not even a Josh Boyce type.
He's a Hollywood Brown type.
Yeah, exactly right. He's a one. Yeah, not
he's a CeeDee Lamb.
Because I think CeeDee Lamb's a better wide receiver.
Trying to think of a. He's not a Kobe Listenby. He's a smaller.
He's his own. He's a Kevontae Turpin. He's a slower Kevontae Turpin.
The guy I've been comparing him to that people like to comp to is DeSean Jackson. But Deshaun can fly.
Yeah,
a whole different. But he can run too.
He's more of a running back playing wide receiver. He's a running back playing wide receiver. To me, because he don't just run past everybody. I don't see him just flying like Deshaun Jackson. Bro, Deshaun Jackson be 10 yards past me.
Yeah, still now.
Like, right now. I've never seen that.
Size and like athletically.
I don't think he's Deshaun Jackson.
So we can't think of one like good comp then.
Marquise Goodwin,
okay,
like
random, but it's not.
But I'm just saying, as far as like his athleticism, his thought of not being really a wide receiver, just he's a unique athlete. I don't know why I said a unique athlete. He's a unique athlete. Like,
so what would you grade? How would you grade the wide receivers this year? Because I gave him a pretty tough grade, but I didn't go as tough as I wanted to.
You know what? I would say before the last two games, they were a D. An F. No, they were an F. They were before the last two games, they were a complete F. Before the Kansas game.
I said before the second half of the Iowa State game, they were an F.
No, Kansas game. That game a lot.
That's Kansas, though.
But that's when you still got to do it. So the Kansas game was the first time I was like, oh, we do have wide receivers.
Yeah.
But. Oh, but you're talking like
Travalence Hunt.
My goodness.
Bro Wells, Trey Heights,
They're not wide receivers. Can't put Pro Wells in there. But
he's listed as a wide receiver now on the roster. We got informed of that.
Yeah, but we know the truth. So anyway,
it's Jalen Reagor, to Valence Hunt, it's Trey Heights. Well, Dylan Thomas not out for the season, unfortunately.
I've never been a Trey Heights fan. He's had one play to me this whole career, and that was Ohio State. I've never
He's had touchdown catches like 48, 49, and 51. He's done really nothing else other than that.
This year?
No, his career.
Oh, no, I'm just getting at what I remember.
Yeah, no, his biggest play was at Ohio State.
Yeah, and besides that, I'm not convinced to be him, Dylan Thomas, or
T. Hunt. I like T. Hunt a lot.
No, wow, no. First, don't you dare put T. Hunt in there. The first two games, when he kept dropping the ball, you could have put T. Hunt in there. But when I've seen athletically and talent-wise from number nine, he's gonna be our next great wide receiver. He's just a sophomore, right?
Yeah, who's number nine?
Treveyland Hunt.
Okay, yeah. I thought you were dogging him for a second.
I called him number nine because I'm just thinking when I'm watching.
I thought you were like saying different. I was like, we're agreeing. I think. Yeah.
No, you're right. Yeah. Like he's gonna be our next great wide receiver.
The biggest debate I've been having with people for years now is T. Hunt versus John Stevens.
Or T. Hunt.
Yeah. Now, that's not the camp you were in last year.
No, I'm still a John Stevens fan.
Okay.
I think he's going to be we're about to have, I'm trying to tell you, Max Duggins junior year, everybody's like, oh, everybody's going to be going.
So
you're going to have Treveyland Hunt with John Stevens, with Tay Barber, with, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to have a squad. This team will be very, very good.
He's giving me chills all of a sudden for the year 2020.
Thank you. 2021. Give it another season. Let this next season's going to be their coming out party. Y'all going to start seeing what I'm saying. But the season after that, I don't think about us playing good as far as what I'm excited about. I think about national championship. Coach P's trying to win national championship.
Yeah.
He will have a chance with this quarterback.
So you think 2021, they're a national title?
No.
Big 12 championship contender.
There we go. Big 12 championship contender. Coach P wants to win a natty. I don't mean he's going to.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. If he,
as long as Clemson and LSU has the Saints passing coordinator. Yeah. Like,
we should have gone and taken him.
You see what I'm saying? That's what we need. We need to call somebody, and we need to find an offensive coordinator that can match Coach P's intensity.
Because it's got to been it worked for a second with Cumbie. What about like
Seth? That's because it was Seth, brand new.
Right, and, what do we take like Seth Doje or whatever his name is? Dougie. Just a random Tech quarterback from the last 15 years.
Yeah, I don't care. It don't matter. Don't matter. Anybody.
Tony Romo.
Cliff Kingsbury after he gets fired after this year.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, he won today. He beat Atlanta. Missed an extra point.
He's not getting fired.
Oh, I know. He's too hot for that.
Yeah.
He's too hot for that. All right, so go to the defense. We've talked a little bit about offense now. Defense, what would you grade the defensive line?
Is there anything lower than F?
I give him a D minus because Russ Blackhawk's played well the last couple weeks.
No, not enough. Not enough. I'm sorry. I've seen us get moved and not get. Okay, so when
it's been bad.
When I watch football, I don't watch individually. When you watch the D-line and the offensive line, this is something that y'all can all do. I don't know if y'all do this already, but watch after that ball snapped. Don't watch individually the line. Literally, like, kind of take an objective view. You know what I mean? Like,
how almost, the unit goes?
Yeah, like, which way the unit moves. If it's a pass, if it doesn't look like that, a cup, like a half a hand. Yeah, I made a cup. I'm sorry. So if it's a pass play.
Building
like,
a pocket.
Yeah, if it doesn't, if you don't see, and you can literally see if how fast that pocket collapses. You can literally see when it's a run play, which line moves, which direction. Our line goes backwards.
Yeah.
Every time. We never, not anybody on our line goes forward. On a pass play, just watch the line, and don't watch it as a individual on the line. Watch it as a unit, and watch how our line literally always our D line literally goes where the offensive line wants it to go. Like during pass plays, they get stalemated. All four of them. It's
they have 11 sacks in the season.
on run play, and it's because we sat because we blitz.
Oh, I mean, Garrett Wallace has three of them.
Because we blitz. That's the only time we're getting sacks. We're not getting sacks because we're beating offensive linemen. I swear to you, watch the line, and I watch it every time, and I'm just like, and mind you, I'm invested into the line. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think people know your relation.
But. My cousin is Shamik Blackshear, and so when I'm watching him, and I tell him.
you were very vocal about it with me on the phone
the other day. Everything I tell y'all, I tell him. If that D-line, when that D-line plays, and I told him, like, what he has to start doing, and this is what I told him, bro, because the first play of every game, I don't care who you're playing against, I don't care what the play is, jump off that ball as soon as he says hut and go hit that offensive tackle in his mouth. Just go pop him as hard as you can. Don't even worry about what the play is. Don't worry about where to go. Don't worry about nothing. Just first play, go hit that offensive lineman in the mouth just to show him he ain't for a dogfight. Like, don't, you know what I mean? Like, don't even do nothing else, bro. If you make a play after that, cool. If you knock that tackle into the play. But the first play of every game, and y'all need to do this as a D-line, bro, just go hit him in the mouth. And just let him know, hey, bro, y'all about to be in for a battle this game. And then once you do that, you'll be in their head. You know what I mean? Like, our defensive line has no dog. Like, we used to have LJ. That's why I used to like LJ. Bro, go watch LJ.
You've been hot LJ for forever.
Bro, go watch LJ's when he, the first play of every game, bro, he's coming right in your face and he's knocking you back into that quarterback. And that puts the offensive guard, offensive lineman on their heels. Like, it throws them off when your first play you come rushing at him. The great offensive lineman, you'll come running at him, hit him in the mouth, and he'll say, all right, let's do that again. You know what I'm saying? That's a real battle. Those are two great football players. But really how you show your mettle is first play, go hit him in the mouth and just go see. See what happens.
So you want Shamik to do that. What about O'Shawn? What are you seeing from him?
I can see his talent and his athleticism, but he's not there yet as far as strength wise. We wanted him to be a first round DN away.
He's still a retro freshman.
That's just realistic.
Yeah.
So he should be a rotational player, not a starter. But because of lack of depth and lack of talent, he's forced to be a starter. But in 2 years,
I'm getting my 2021 season tickets now. I'm lining up 1-8-817 Go Frogs or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. You see what I'm saying? Like, this team, we have to build a team, and we're still building a team.
I'm looking at the future schedules.
Mm-hmm.
2021, is that when I think Cal comes here? 2021.
It better not.
I think it's 2021. That's what we're talking. So Cal comes here. I just clicked on the same button twice, and now it's refreshing, taking forever. But I know next year we go to Cal, so I assume 2021 Cal comes here. And then they haven't decided about SMU yet, if that's going to be a thing or not.
They need to.
I mean, they better keep that going now.
Man, we need our revenge.
You got to get the skill up.
Yeah, we need our revenge.
Now people want to keep playing.
Yeah, I bring in the SMU and still the skill.
Before the game, people are like, no, we don't need to play that anymore. It's no good for us. And now it's like, well, hold up. We better get that skill back. Yeah, so 2021, on 9/11, Cal will be here. So get your tickets now for that game. All right, so there's your defensive line. Blacklock, are you seeing
Blacklock? He's still good. He's good. He's the only one that I see anytime I see any flash on the D-line, it comes
Bradley's taking a step back.
My goodness. He's a huge step back.
Yeah, and then Blacklock, I think the perk of this, maybe Blacklock sticks around another year. I was afraid of him having a good year and peacing out.
I think he's still going to go.
You think so?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think he's still going to go.
You think Rager's still going to go?
I think Rager left
a while ago.
Rager has been gone.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I don't mind him leaving.
Because you just hyped up T-Hunt and
stuff. No, I am fine with that. But I mean, I don't mind him. I don't think he's good for. I don't think he was good for.
If he was here 2 years earlier.
Yeah,
or a year later.
I think his personality is too dominant. For this team. I think he's going to fit in great with the NFL. He's going to be a good NFL player.
From Andy Dalton next year or whatever.
You see what I'm saying? He'll be a good NFL player because, like I said, his athleticism is through the roof.
I mean, yeah, we couldn't even think of a comparison just now. We were trying to think of a decent comp, but we couldn't come up with one.
Because there's very few people that have that kind of vertical, that kind of 40 time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he's a rare combination.
When you see him jump in the end zone, like the Iowa State game, when he his bounce is like Tyreek Hill.
You like that one, huh?
Almost.
I don't hate that.
Almost, but he's not as fast.
Oh, no, not as fast. People are.
So that's the only reason. So just imagine a slower Tyreek Hill. I mean, a faster John Dr. It's like
it's totally you know, he's either a slower top end receiver or a really fast XFL guy. One or the other. All right, so the last position, the rest will all be on purplemenace.com, but linebackers, that's the position you played. I want to get your evaluation of the group as a whole. And I basically did Wallow, and then everybody.
I was just about to say, you nailed it then.
Yeah. So
there's one. We have one linebacker.
I gave Wallow an A and the rest of the group a C.
Yeah. Wallow, you give Wallow an A plus.
That's fine. I'll change it right now.
Yeah.
I gave A pluses
too. I wouldn't even give him a C. You give him a B minus. No. Because, I mean, they're not bad.
No, they're not bad. You can see.
No, you're right. Yeah.
You can see the future in D Winners. And Van Zandt.
But that's what I'm saying. This team, Coach P sees this too. Coach P ain't stupid. Yeah. Coach P knows what he's doing. Coach P sees this team as, okay, like, this team has a really good chance. Like, but you can tell how he talks before the season.
See, I heard him talk all the season, and it reminded me of 2017, the team that went to the Big 12 title game.
Yeah, but that was an up and down. That was an iffy team, too.
Yeah,
as far as exactly. That was a flip
because of Kenny Hill. Yeah, they went 10-3 or whatever.
But that team was super stacked around him, even more so than this team. This team has great players, but not at great positions to have them. You know what I mean? Like we have luxury great players instead of key great players.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Like that team kind had of key great players. Like
Boom. The Pryor, Turpin.
That D line. Yeah. Do you remember that D line of who had the real long arms?
Terrell Lathan. That's a flashback. Was it Big Tippa Galilea?
No, man, that wasn't the that was, he was wasn't. Then? Yeah, nah, he had nothing to do with any of this.
You were way off.
Yeah. Yo, he had nothing to do with none of this.
Nothing close at all there, huh? Yeah. Didn't like that call at all. Yes. Bosun? We talking defensive lineman off?
Yeah, defensive lineman too.
Bosun? Long hair white guy?
Yeah.
Had nine sacks against Baylor? Casey McDermott Vine, no. Coy McMillan, no. This is a weird roster. I don't like that roster.
Yeah, anyway, it's got awkward.
Yeah, that's what happens to freaking...
yeah, you don't remember.
This pulled up the basketball roster for 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying... Yankees just took the lead. Aaron Judge just hit a homer. All right, so it's Wallow and then everyone else at linebacker spots. Man, so you're feeling... So you still think this team can get to a bowl game, get 8 to 10 wins?
Wow, I was about 10. We would not see 10. If we see 10.
Seven wins.
I will be 7-5.
This is 6-6 in the Texas Bowl.
7-5 is a great record for this team. 8-4, 7-5 is a great record for this team.
I was looking up today's
Bowl. If we beat one team that we're not supposed to beat.
Texas.
And you see what I'm saying? That's where I'm seeing it going.
This ESPN today has their bowl projections. They have us going to the Liberty Bowl.
At what record?
Probably 6-6. That sends you to the Liberty Bowl. That's where we were 2 years ago. We played Georgia.
6-6.
Yeah.
So what are we?
This has us playing Mississippi State, and then in one projection, and then Liberty in the other one.
If we win one game that we're not supposed to win, and I don't think we've done that already.
No.
I'm sad because I think we've played our complete game. The Kansas game.
That's very disheartening. You think that's the best game we'll play all year?
Every team has this every year. You're going to lose a game that you're not supposed to. You're going to win a game that you're not supposed to. And you're going to have a complete game. And then so
our complete game was Kansas.
And I think we've already had our complete game.
Is that SMU?
It's SMU.
So we're going to win a game we're not supposed to win.
Because think about how good did you feel after the Kansas win?
I felt good.
Felt good, right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because it was
I felt like they were going to then go and beat Iowa State.
You felt good. That was our – so – then I think Iowa State was our WTF moment of the season.
I think
SMU may have been
the, SMU was.
You know
I think
what?
People respect Iowa State. I think SMU people didn't respect yet, and people realize now they're 6-0 and not terrible.
They're not terrible. They're not just not terrible. They're good.
Yeah.
I called Elijah Olubo, and I called Elijah the day of the game, and I told him, I said, fam, if we played SMU again tomorrow, they'd beat us again.
Yeah, you told me that too.
I called a couple.
You called everybody.
I called everybody.
Where am I on the list?
If we played SMU again this week, they'd beat us again. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They're just a better team this year.
It's better right now.
Like that's a tough realistic. That's a tough.
Again, they beat us every 7 years. People get used to it.
You know what?
That's how it goes.
But like I said, man, this team, TCU guys, we are 2 years away. Don't worry. We will be back to being able to talk to anybody and say whatever we want. Just hope Oklahoma doesn't build an unbelievable.
Lincoln Riley's coaching the Cowboys.
You know what I'm saying? Lincoln Riley's going to be gone coaching. Don't say the Cowboys because I don't want the Cowboys to be good either. But I hope he goes somewhere else.
The Houston Texans.
That's fine with me.
He can coach Deshaun Watson. I'd watch that.
I'd love to watch that.
I'm a big Watson.
If Cliff Kingsbury has a good couple years, he has officially opened the door to anybody coaching the NFL.
Yeah, but we kind of felt that way about Chip Kelly, too.
Nah, because Chip Kelly had success.
You said anybody.
Yeah.
You didn't say anybody.
Anybody. Right. Right. Chip Kelly was in national championships. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chip Kelly was considered the innovator of the spread off, the fast pay. Like Chip Kelly was a whole different. He changed nutrition. Like he changed everything.
You meant literally anybody.
Anybody. Like, but when you have a guy who went 6-5, turn around and go coach the. Go coach the Cardinals.
So I kept saying he's failing up.
Like
he went from 6-6 with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, mind you. 6-6 with the greatest NFL quarterback MVP. Of ever that ever played a game of football.
And then he got promoted to USC somehow. Didn't even coach there. Now he's coaching the NFL. You're right. Literally anybody can coach.
Literally any. They're going to say, hey, you know, if you know offense, you can come coach here.
Pretty much. Or if you've ever met Sean McVay at all.
Patrick Mahomes is considered the greatest ever. The most talented quarterback to ever play the game of football.
Yeah.
We beat him.
Yeah, we beat him a couple times. Yeah. And even the games they won, it wasn't like he dominated. It was like a triple overtime, like 17-16 triple overtime game. I remember that happening a couple years ago. It still blows my mind.
That had nothing to do with him, though.
Well, no. But I'm saying, like, it was a game that featured Patrick Mahomes.
But I told you the first person that ever told me about Patrick Mahomes was Coach P.
Really?
Yep. He was like, well, he didn't tell me personally. I was like, watching.
Why didn't he recruit him?
I don't know. He was watching him. He was like, have you seen the kid at Texas Tech? I mean, the stuff he does is.
Oh, so he was at Texas Tech then.
Yeah.
I thought he was talking about like out of high school.
No.
One recruited out of high school is kind of his.
Yeah. Deal. When they seen him at Texas Tech, yeah. Coach P was amazed by him at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Like, Coach P, because. And the way he said it, I've never heard him like talk about a quarterback like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then to come out and then him actually turn into who he turned into, I was like, dang, Coach P seen it before everybody else did.
Not everybody.
Not everybody. Yeah.
A year earlier, yeah. He would have been here. Because I think he definitely would have come here if it had been found a year earlier. But
that would have been. He would have been a great get.
Yeah, the understatement. All right, let's go into straight.
Oh, Eli Williams hurt his knee.
Oh yeah, he's done. He got the. Not full on Justin Rogers, but pretty close.
I'm just like, what is with us? Why can't we get our guy? I think Max Duggan's going to be our guy.
I thought Justin Rogers was going to be the guy. But
yeah,
that was before he tore up his knee. Now Eli Williams, I think.
Max Duggan. I'm so happy we have him.
Yeah.
I'm so happy we have him. Like, I think he's going to be such a stud for us. Bro, he sits in the pocket.
You've already sold, I'm checking the phones now, you sold 100% of 2021 season tickets. Just talking about how Max Duncan's going to be in
two years. Because he's going to be our guy. Like, okay, bro, he sits in the pocket like an NFL quarterback. He does not just get out and run. He literally sits in the pocket and he goes to reads as a true
freshman.
Yeah.
This time last year, he was in week 5 of Iowa
High School. High School football.
Which I imagine the best team in Iowa is probably the 107th best team.
And he's gotten better every week.
Yeah, he really has.
His arm's talent.
From first half to second half, he's got 45 first half passing yards and 450 in the second half. It's absurd.
I'm so excited for our future. I just want to see, as long as I keep seeing the progression. Next year, I'm expecting a drop. You're always going to have a sophomore slump. It's a true thing because you have expectation.
You have to go. Like I said, you have to go to Cal. That's your big game. But they play great defense.
Well, schedules don't bother me no more. Because realistically, I only
you're playing everyone in the Big 12.
If we have a great team, I mean the schedule's going to be the same thing. So if we have a great team. The only team I'm worried about is Oklahoma. Every year. That'll be your only team. Texas will be up and down. I still don't think Texas. Tom Herman ain't the guy. Tom Herman is the guy to get Texas back on track. Tom Herman ain't Lincoln Riley.
Well, no.
No
one's Lincoln Riley.
Tom Herman ain't no Lincoln
Riley. Cliff Kingsbury's not Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley's Lincoln. Like he's
changing the game, man.
He's a problem.
Yep. Changes the game.
So as long as Lincoln Riley's around, he's only like 30 something.
What if he's 38? Oh, just turned 38 last week.
This guy. Can he get older faster?
Can we give him 40 more years?
Can we help him?
Get him straight for Benjamin Button out of here. Get him done with this. All right. I'm gonna kind of go into Twitter questions. If you're ready for that?
Yeah, I'm excited.
We've been talking 50 minutes about the 2021 football season.
Twitter questions.
Go back, man. I missed the Jeff drops or whatever. Clint Foster, at Clint underscore Foster 55. What were your top 200 Twitter questions? Everyone that Clint Foster sit in. Those were the two.
And Bayou Frog.
Him and Bayou, we'll get to Bayou City and Yell MK. All these people over the years. No Yell MK. I gave him two chances this week, too. And then Clint Foster, also my late question from last week about your favorite TCU linebacker duo. Favorite TCU linebacker duo over the years?
Mine personally?
Yeah, you can pick one. You played linebacker here, so by all means, you're
curious. I got to watch it. Got to watch a whole lot of good.
Was Darrell Washington and Jason Phillips there at the same time?
Yeah, but I don't consider them the duo. It was D-Lew and Tank.
Yeah.
That was probably the most exciting. That was the most talented. No, Ty Summers and Traven Howard.
It's probably recency bias? Or you think it's what about Paul Dawson and
they were good too, but
who's like Hack? No, not Hackett.
I love Ty Summers as a football player. I love Traven Howard as a football player.
All right, give me Garrett Wallow and anybody else.
If Garrett Wallow had a partner, he would be my favorite. But D-Lew and Tank was so Darrell Washington and Tank was probably number two.
I was like, tell him who D-Lew is.
Oh, yeah. Darrell Washington and Tank Carter were probably number 1A, 1B.
Yeah.
If you're going to go that. And then Ty Summers and – bro, Ty Summers and Traven Howard, that had nothing to do with recency. Bro, they both had 200-something tackles.
They both
broke 8,000
tackles.
You know what I'm saying? Like it was no accident. Like that was fun to watch.
Yeah. All right. That, interesting.
And that's not there's a reason they're both in the NFL, too.
I figured you'd go older than that, but I like that. Sal Martinez, at Sal underscore MTZ. What can we expect from Max Duggan and this TCU offense from now on? Well, you think in 2021 they're Big 12 title contenders. This year they're going to be average. Next year they'll be average.
I think next year they'll be a little above average. 9-3.
They've literally never finished 9-3 since 1957.
Well, so you're saying it's due.
that's still the most amazing stat I've ever seen. In the Gary Patterson era, they've never had less than four wins or 9. They never had 0, 1, 2, 3, or 9. They've had every other number in his era.
It's either 10 or bust.
Yeah. It's been 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 11, 12, 13. He said all these wins. Maybe not 13. Maybe only 12.
We had 13. 13-0, bro.
With the Rose Bowl team?
Yeah.
You didn't play the title game that year.
13-0.
You only played 12 games.
No, we didn't. We were 13-0.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
12-1, 13-0.
Then the Rose Bowl. Yeah, you're right.
I forgot your history.
Yeah, I don't know. I forgot how numbers work. But literally every number from 4 and up, except for 9. It's a crazy stat to me.
I don't fuck with 9.
Whoa, yeah, that's the second one you dropped today. It's fine. Yeah, you dropped one earlier talking about...
This is a satellite, though.
Yeah, it's a satellite. That's interesting. Yeah, we'll get the explicit tag just for this one. I'm not worried about it. That's two in your 200 episodes you've been on. I'm impressed by that.
Do kids listen to podcasts?
Yeah, I went to Trinity Valley School a couple weeks ago and like presented how to make a podcast, how to do a podcast, and I interviewed who's their football coach?
Kenny Kane.
Me and Kenny Kane. We talked.
My guy.
I interviewed him in front of the class and stuff.
Oh, you should have told me.
It was on the podcast like 2 weeks ago. You should listen to it. It was at the end of the podcast.
Awkward. If anybody's still listening.
Yeah, if anyone's still here. Kenny Kane, give your shout out. And then second question.
What's up,
Unc? Second question from Sal. Should we be worried about the defense?
Yes! Yes!
I am. The defensive line.
As long as you defend. You know what's crazy? Probably our most talented secondary in years. Yes.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
Yes. I think
Trevon Merrick is
probably our most talented secondary.
Since the Peach Bowl.
You're three deep at cornerback.
Yeah.
With a freshman. You're three deep at cornerback. You're three deep at safety.
Yeah, no. I think cornerback definitely be an issue. Like, that's
you have
scary.
Ennis Gaines, Merrick Woodard, who's probably your best safety since Chris Hackett.
Yeah, probably.
Like... And he's better than Chris Hackett because he's faster. He's a playmaker. He's a ball hawk, a tackler. With Ennis Gaines, who's probably your best strong safety since Sam Carter.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, I'm not going to go weak. I mean, I think Vernon Scott is a player, but
he's
I'm not going to.
He's not. Yeah, he's better than Nico, but he's
yeah, not. Yeah, he's not. He's Cuba. He's you know what I mean? He's
far. I'm trying to think of
who's S-Dot. Like, he's Stephen Coleman.
Who's the other safety of the Peach Bowl year? Who's the guy that broke his collarbone? Derek Kindred.
He's not Kindred.
Oh, no, I'm saying he's not one of those guys.
Yeah, exactly.
We were mentioning all the safeties. Okay, we didn't mention Kindred in there.
Yeah, he's a guy that just – he's a plug-and-play guy, okay? Yeah. So – but he's a good athlete. He's a good athlete. He got good size.
Yeah.
Probably our most talented secondary in years.
Yeah. But we have –
can't guard anybody because they have time all day to throw the ball.
Think the line getting no pressure.
No pressure. So we got to blitz. And if we blitz,
Garrett Wallace
you open
going,
it up. Yeah, it's man coverage.
Everything's falling apart.
So, if you're worried about the defense, let it continue. But don't. It's not a permanent fix. It's not a foundational problem. It's a lack of talent problem.
Yeah. It's very sad when you put it like that. Bayou City Frogs, go to his. Would you rather be undefeated / a one loss group of five team year in and year out, or go through the ups and downs that we've experienced here in the Big 12? And he said that's more of as a fan versus like a player.
Wait, what?
So would you rather be UCF or would you rather be TCU?
UCF.
You'd rather be in the American and go 12-0 and then claim a national title? Mr. Rose Bowl champion's very much nodding his head over here.
Yes.
You'd rather be the biggest kid in your kindergarten class.
Yeah, why not?
I don't know.
I mean, clearly we liked it.
That's what
you see how
that's
good y'all fans, felt walking around
wearing your Rose Bowl shirts.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
you want us these shirts.
That's the reason. Put it this way, there's a reason you even said UCF.
Yeah.
10 years ago, would you have said UCF?
Oh, you
would
have said TCU. And
yeah, exactly right.
In Utah.
Why? Because that's the outside. You're okay. And then you walk around, and then you develop this. This order, this complexity order, like the short man syndrome, like I can beat up anybody. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what UCF is. Oh, we can beat up anybody. And then they go to Temple and lose.
They go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and then you go to Pitt and lose, and then Temple and lose.
Cincinnati and lose. And Cincinnati roast you with their tweet after the game. You see that?
You know what I mean? Like, and so you would rather have that chip and be able to recruit at that level because, hey, because kids want to win too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hey, why would I come? Okay, well, hey, we're in the Big 12, but you know what I mean? We're 5-6 and 6 every year. Okay.
But Iowa State climbed out of that hole. Iowa State was 3-9 every year for like a decade. And now
you need a coach to do that offensively. Matt Campbell changed Iowa State. I had nothing to do. And then also, they had a transfer quarterback from.
Where did Purdy come from?
Alabama.
Purdy came from Alabama?
I'm pretty sure he did. We need to look that up.
We just spitting out nonsense.
Okay. I may have just made that up.
Because I'm pretty sure he was a true freshman last year.
Or he decommitted or something.
Maybe. Brock Purdy.
It had something to do with Alabama, bro.
Maybe he was born in Alabama?
Maybe I made it up. Who was he?
He.
It's something about him.
He's from Gilbert, Arizona. He did have an Alabama offer.
There you go. It's something, and he like committed to Alabama, and then they got somebody, and he was like, no, I'm not going there now. And he ended up going to Iowa State. That's what happened.
What about, hey, we Foster Sawyer had an Alabama offer.
That was back before Alabama was playing offense.
That's fair.
They're now. So, and they got his brother right behind him. So don't worry, Alabama's going to continue rolling.
Same with Clemson. They have the number one quarterback in this year's class already
committed. Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah. Body City Frog again. What's the root cause of the play calling issues? Is it GP saying slow down or Cumbie trying to force something or what? It's hard to figure out.
It's Cumbie needing somebody.
Needs a second head.
He needs a Doug Meacham. He's not. He can't do it on his own. It's too tall of a task. Sean Payton. If you ever want to watch an unbelievable offensive coordinator,
yeah,
watch the New Orleans Saints play. And this is not coming from a Saints fan.
Yeah, but he also has one of the top five quarterbacks of all time.
Teddy Bridgewater?
They're winning 13-10 against Jacksonville.
But put it this way. Against the Cowboys, they got 12 points, right? Yeah. So that just means they're not playing good in the red zone. But how are they getting down there?
Yeah, they're doing enough.
You see what I'm saying? Like, but how is he getting to the point where he's doing enough? When you're watching us, if somebody scores, the Saints score.
Yeah.
Okay? Why is that? And there's wide open wide receivers. Wide open wide receivers.
Man, if they saw the guy from LSU too.
And Max Kellerman actually puts a great point on this.
What?
He's the first
Max Kellerman, great point?
That's what I said, right? Never. He said one thing that I've listened to. And he said, the best way to judge offensive coordinators is wide open receivers, and that's a great point.
That's a good point.
That's how you should judge offenses.
It was like Ohio State last year with they were wide open everywhere.
Wide open Ryan receivers.
Was their guy. Yeah.
Whoever your offensive, you notice our wide receivers ain't running wide open.
No,
we're making great plays.
Interesting. That is a good point.
You know what I mean?
Like, I'm gonna give you credit for it though, not Max Kellerman.
Yeah. Thank you. Because he took it from me.
Yeah. You talked to him. He's the third guy you called after.
One of my sources.
Yeah.
My sources.
Billy, why did you jinx the defensive end by saying all season by saying don't worry about the defensive end, defensive line? Obviously, you're the issue, and not that they are dealing with a transfer and redshirt freshman. Yeah, I'm wrong. I was wrong. I was very wrong about that. Chris was about to say. I was super wrong. I thought your cousin would be better.
The one position I told you that you could just play was what position?
Well, you said just linebacker.
Exactly. I didn't say DN. Because our defense is so complex. They're thinking. If you ever see our D linemen, I talk to my cousin too. I tell him this. You can tell them they're thinking. They have to think before every play. And then Coach P, if you ever watch our defense, watch how long it takes for our defense to look back and get set up. Because Coach P waits to the last second to give you a signal. So when you're waiting to the last second to give your signal and you have all this information to process in less than 2 seconds, and then you have to turn around and go make a play,
Yeah. You
know what I mean? Like, our defense is thinking. And so I think they're going to change. Like, they're gonna take a lot of the thinking out.
Do you think this bye week will help that, or you think?
Yeah. And I think it did, because I think they're going to take a lot of the thinking out of it, because our defense is too complex. So you're not. That's why I tell you it takes years for us to get good, because it's a lot of thinking, and you're telling football players to think.
Yeah, they're a bunch of go hit your skull against someone.
Yeah, exactly.
Go as you can,
and now think about some stuff.
Yeah, this, arithmetic question.
And so if there's this in this coverage, in this formation, you need to line up like this. And if they're in this, like, it, we do that. Most Ohio States and stuff don't do that. They do not. Yeah. It's not that. Alabama maybe, but everybody else. Like, I talk to people like, it's go. Go play. Go. Go. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, your keys. Stay your keys, but play. Like, it's not, with the talent that you have, you don't have to do all that extra stuff. But we, with us, we have to do extra stuff. And so that's why we have, that's why it almost seems like nobody's ever open. You're always throwing in tight windows. That's why accurate quarterbacks are the only quarterbacks that can beat us. Running quarterbacks can't beat us. Running teams can't beat us. The only team that can consistently beat us is an accurate quarterback. We can't do anything about it. Because we're going to put you in one-on-one coverage.
Yeah.
And so if you can beat that one-on-one coverage, we don't have the athletes to do anything else. And so,
good luck.
Yeah, exactly.
So that Jalen Hurts.
That's way. And that's why I say Jalen. We actually have a Sam Ellen. He don't scare me as much because he's not very accurate. All
right.
You know that what I mean? Sense. That makes that's sense. Why. But our defensive line don't give me.
They
any.
Scare you even less.
Yeah, they scare me more. You know what I mean? Like
seriously, on defense, is the players or play calling? Why do they all look so lost? So you kind of just went into that.
There you go.
Yeah. And then where can I find hope? Any chance we can make the Texas Bowl, or are we fold in the franchise mode this season?
No, don't fold it in. Take it as learning steps, and as you're seeing progression, enjoy. What we need to do is celebrate the small victories. Stop looking for a conference championship this year. This ain't it.
Well, yeah, it won't happen this year. You're looking for it now.
Don't look for that. Every single episode, you need to. I mean, every episode. Yeah, every episode, emphasize it. Yo, hey, this guy did this good on this play. This guy read this on this play. Start seeing plays that will turn into winning football. That's what I see. That's all I care about. Yeah. If Max Duggan is showing me plays that will eventually turn into winning football, that's what you need to like look at. And that's what we need to celebrate. Hey, bro, Max had this play. Max did this play. Max did. Because we need to look at things in microscopically and not look at things
macro.
Yeah, because we're not there. We're not Clemson. Clemson looks at macro. They don't care about. They know Trevor Lawrence is going to be a first-round pick.
Yeah.
They don't have to be like, oh, Trevor made this pass. That was good. Now we got this to build on. No. We need to win. We need to win. We need to win. We don't need to win. We do need to. I want to win.
Right, yeah, but you want to win six to eight games.
Yeah, I want to win.
Not 13 games.
There you go. I want to win 13 games, but I knew that was impossible.
You're a realist. You're smart. You're smarter than I am. You're better looking. You're more handsome.
Oh, thank you.
You're not taller, but everything else.
I wish somebody would tell my wife.
I forgot this one from Clint Foster. What's the most shameful thing you do for $200?
Honestly?
I mean, again, this is we're trying not to be flipping tags, so don't get too crazy, but I'd do a lot for $200.
No, I wouldn't do anything, to be honest with you.
You wouldn't do anything?
No.
I'll just say a lot.
Yeah,
we'll ultimately, what you define shameful?
Yeah, exactly. That's such an open question,
right? Nick P at TCU Fan 92. TCU stock up or down after this weekend's performance? It's got to be down after the Iowa State. You can't get that's a game people thought they could come in and win. Especially
you mean this week?
I'm assuming he means the
maybe game. He means the bye week.
I know, but I'm assuming he means. Well, we didn't perform this weekend. We didn't do anything.
That's what I'm saying.
So you think the stock is up? Or
stock down? Is definitely up.
Stock is down. This is a rough bye week, guys. We had a little bad time.
No, I think we're gonna be okay.
Yeah, we'll still get to a bowl game. I think it'll still Liberty Bowl, Texas Bowl.
Who are we beating, man?
We just did this already: West Virginia, Kansas State, and then either Baylor or Texas Tech.
Wait, we need one more. Don't we need one more to get to seven? More.
To get to six.
We need to get to seven, though. My prediction.
Oh, okay. Well, then I gave you Kansas State, and I'm giving you West Virginia. So you think you can beat Texas. You get Texas and Baylor both at home, and you go to Lubbock. You could easily win all three of those. Easily is a relative term. You could definitely win three. You could win two of those three.
What if we beat Oklahoma, though?
You're the one that's saying the 0% chance. I'm like, yeah. I'm the one that said.
I'm not saying it's zero. I think it's 0.01.
I'm the one that says every year they lose a game, and why not us? Like, why not this team?
Well, I mean, that's optimism. I'm talking about realistic.
What if Alex Delton comes in and just lights them up? Throws for 300 yards and runs for 200, and says, "Like this is what you wish you
Max
could be Jalen."
Max twists the ankle in warmups, and then Delta goes.
Well, again, in a game started by Foster Sawyer, we lost by one. We went for two in the win. Remember, in 2015.
How much were we down by?
Oh, a lot. But you But it came down to go for two.
They fell asleep. So,
like, Stephen Parker had to swat that ball away in the end zone.
It's never, ever, ever really close. When I was watching that game, I was like, this is crazy that we're coming back. I wasn't watching it like we deserve to be coming back. I wasn't watching it like we're going to just keep coming back. Even though that was the same team that did come back in the Alamo Bowl, right?
Yeah. Crazy they came back in that one too, huh? I guess Oregon. Oregon's not as good as Oklahoma.
But that team had grit. You know what that team was? That was the team after the...
It was after 14.
See, when you have to learn how to win.
They lost 30-29 was the final score. They went for two in the win.
But I'm saying, like, you have to learn how to win.
They were down 30-13 going into the fourth quarter.
14 was the 12-1 year, right?
14, yeah, the one loss was to Baylor.
Okay, so that team knew how to win.
But how? Because 2013, they went 4-8.
But that team had a lot of the players that when we were there.
Yeah.
So that team still knew how to win. Because when I was there, they went 10-2.
Yeah, but then they went. But then they joined the Big 12, and then they.
But the only reason they were 5-0.
Oh yeah.
See what I'm saying? They were listening to the phone. Yeah, they were winning.
Because Paul Hall got.
Yeah, they knew how to win.
Yeah.
They just didn't have the key to win. But that team was 5-0, so they knew how to win. And so that 14 team still had people who were on the team that went 11-2, that still had on the team that went 10-2, or excuse me, 11, you know what I mean, 12-2, 12-1, 10-2. They were still there. The Kenny Canes just left, you know what I mean? Like, so you still had people who knew how to win. This team don't know how to win.
Not yet. But that team, like, it was 30-13 going into the fourth quarter. Turpin got an 86-yard touchdown. You can't count on that. But they had a 43-yard field goal from Oberkrome and then scored with 14 seconds.
You see, we had keys, man. We had Oberkrome.
Oberkrome was key.
Like, that was clutch. Like,
he was automatic outside of 30. Inside of 30, but he was iffy. But
57 yarders.
Nailed it.
Like,
the West Virginia kick, obviously.
That team was complete.
Yeah.
And Coach Pete knows how to build a team. Just give him time.
Give him 2 years.
Give him 2 years.
Let's see. We got a couple more here. Doug, at Surgery Dude, chances they let Max air it out at the beginning of the game this week. It seems to be they tend to start really slow and seem to ease Max into it.
We got bad offense coordinator.
Maybe that's true. So maybe Kansas.
He's not bad because bad is 13. TCU yeah, 13. Bad. That's bad offense coordinator.
Yeah.
He's not a bad offense coordinator. He's just not up to this level.
He's not here. He's no Lincoln Riley.
He's not even a Matt Rhule.
Pluto Brown at Chemical Toilet. What tells updated win total count for TCU football? I think we're both saying 7 now.
7 is a great year.
Yeah. Now I agree with you. I didn't 2 months ago. Chris, give us one of your better comedy bits. This is from Pluto Brown.
Check out my Instagram page at KRGFunny, at KRGFunny, at KRGFunny. It has some great videos on there.
The Harriet Tubman bit still cracks me up every time I hear it, and I've heard it a bunch of times.
That's one of my good ones.
That's one of my favorite ones. So if you can find Chris's Harriet Tubman bit, it's really good. What unit is the weakest link on the TCU defense? Defensive line. Hands down. All right, last question.
Everybody but Ross Blacklock.
And Garrett Wallow.
On the defensive line.
On the defense, period. Everyone but Garrett Wallow. Bryce Mawinney, one of my buddies from high school, or from my hometown. Go down memory lane and... Huh?
Say, what's up, Bryce?
And let us know where you were at in life and went into your first pod. Also, what has changed for you and for the podcast since? So the first podcast I kind of mentioned earlier is me, Jeff, and Matt Jennings. It really just started as me and Jeff in Jeff's backyard. A similar setup to we have now. We're basically at my kitchen table now in my apartment. But we were in the backyard of Jeff's place with two microphones and a mixer and a computer. Pretty much what we did this on.
In
this backyard. And so it goes back to the famous story of the very first episode. 5 minutes into the episode, me and Jeff sitting outside, his wife comes home, and his wife works in a hospital, and apparently a common thing is...
Oh, that's right. She's naked.
She took all her scrubs off and just walking around her house in her underwear, and Jeff saw me, like, lose my train of thought for a second. He goes, did my wife just come home? I was like, yep. He's like, okay, now look over here. I was like, so, yeah, so that goes back to the very first episode. She just took one step in, took off her scrubs, threw them in the... Jeff did very well for himself, so shout out Jeff Craig.
I just went to lunch with Jeff on Wednesday.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for the invite. Appreciate it.
Nah, bro. Every time I call you during the day, you're always busy.
I'm always working out, bro. I'm getting real strong. Working weird. I can probably outbench you right now.
You probably could outbench me a long time ago, bro. I haven't worked out forever.
I can definitely out-leg press you.
I don't do any of it.
Oh. I got up to, I'm at 855 on my leg press.
I work out literally to maintain fat, being fat.
Maintain fatness. That's all. I'm trying to keep my circular frame. I'm trying to stay a globe as much as I can. I don't even run.
I walk. I told myself once I quit football, I promised myself I'd never run again.
Yeah.
And so I haven't ran in years.
The last time I saw your stand-up, but you did something about your knee, how you like hadn't played football forever. Mm-hmm. Then you never got hurt playing football. Then you play a flag football
game. Play flag football.
And tore your ACL like instantly.
No. I didn't tear my ACL. Tearing ACL is kids' child's play, what happened to me. I ruptured my patellar tendon, which is one of your strongest bones, if not the strongest bone in your body. It's what keeps your kneecap in place.
Yeah.
Guy fell into my leg, sent my kneecap backwards, sent my knee backwards, knocked my kneecap up into my thigh. So if you ever look at my knee, and I'll show you if you ask, I don't have a knee. Like I don't have a knee.
You wiggled it on stage that one time.
I literally do not have a knee. Like you can touch it. It's a flat.
I don't recommend anyone doing it, but you can. If you're
Oh, we're still on? No.
We got one more question after this.
Okay, shoot.
Also, how long would it take you to eat 200 Chick-fil-A nuggets and or 200 Cheez-Its? Cheez-Its, I'm going to say like 2 minutes.
I was just about to say I eat a box of Cheez-Its a day.
That's really? Maybe that's why you need to go to the gym.
Maybe that's why I go to the gym. no, Chick-fil-A I don't eat
nuggets,
it.
That'll take 20 minutes probably. 10 to 20.
200 Chick-fil-A nuggets? 200
chicken nuggets?
It would take me a couple days. I mean, that's a lot of fried food.
I believe in you.
Cheez-Its. I swear to gosh, I do probably go through a box and a half a week.
I like you swear to gosh, by the way. That was adorable.
Yeah, that's what I do.
You dropped 2 F-bombs during the show. But by golly, by golly, I'm swearing to Josh. Turn to gosh right now. Oh, man. Chris, thanks for coming on again. As you all, always a pleasure whenever you do. It's always my favorite episodes we get to do. And thank you all, by the way, for, 200 episodes. This is crazy. I can't believe something that me, Jeff, and Matt came up with at Pro Day, I think in 2013. We were just talking, we should do a podcast. And we started it, and here we are 5-6-ish years later and 200 episodes in, and it's been fun. It's definitely my favorite part each week that I do. Get to talk some football and meet some cool people with Chris and all that stuff. You got any shows coming up, Chris?
November 16th, Hyenas Comedy Club, 7 and 9:30. And then I'm in Alabama. Oh, if there's any Alabama fans, I'm in Birmingham on this Friday, October 18th, 8:30. I believe the show is. I'll find out. Follow me on my Instagram, on my Twitter, at KRGFunny. I'll make sure that y'all get to follow me. Y'all get to see where we are. And then I have a play coming up as well.
Oh.
That's in a couple weeks. And I'm doing Truth and Comedy. That'll be in Fort Worth. But that won't be till like November 2nd or... So, anyway.
Yeah, let me know all of that. Definitely follow your Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all that jazz. And then I'm still at Billy Wessels at TC_Rivals. We'll talk to you all next week or sooner. Who knows?
Bye.